Sometimes it feels like the news is full of things that have never happened before. And that is not exactly true. In fact, it may have happened this very week, hundreds or thousands of years ago. I'm Sally Helm, host of the podcast History This Week from the History Channel. Trade embargoes? Thomas Jefferson tried them. Rent too high? We've been arguing about that for a while. Each episode is proof. The past isn't that far away. Listen to History This Week, available now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, we bring to you the newest Dallas Maverick, the first round draft pick. It is Merez Johnson Jr. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, guys. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much for jumping on. Now, I always want to know this. What's the, when you got to the NBA draft, are you more excited? Are you more nervous? Is it a combination of all of those emotions throughout the night before you hear your name called?
I don't want to say nervous. I was anxious. It's very different than like college, high school, AAU. Like you get to choose what team you want to play on when you're younger. And now like the team chooses you. You have no say so at all, you know? So I was just anxious about that part because I'm used to making a decision for myself, you know?
How cool was it being able to do the interview with your parents afterwards, seeing the emotions that they're going through because of this huge step for you?
It was amazing. I was expecting both my parents and my whole table to be emotional because we came a long way. You know, my family's been with me along my whole journey, sacrificing so much for me to be here to be able to accomplish my goals. So I'm glad that all the hard work paid off for all of us.
One thing that we were talking about, I know people are caught up with, obviously, the new Mavs head coach, your head coach. But what we were talking about is what kind of experience do you have with and or against Cooper Flagg, like on the AAU circuit?
We play each other a nice amount of times at like at camps and stuff like that with Jordan Brand. We spent a bunch of time together before. We're very familiar with each other. I think we have a good relationship. Spoke to him the other day two or three times, and I'm excited to play with Cooper.
Does that kind of relationship help facilitate some trash talk for you guys?
Of course. We're both very, very competitive, so I'm expecting a lot of trash talk from both of us. And we both know it's coming from a loving way, and it's not to, like, you know, dehumanize anyone. It's just, you know, competing.
Merez, congratulations. And like I said, as a dad, it was great to see your pops get a little bit of shine on there and you show him some love back and remembering some of the things that he's taught you throughout your life. And so that was just, it was heartwarming to see. Now, for a lot of folks, they were expecting the Mavs to go out and get a guard, get somebody who's an offensive first guy. You're a defensive minded guy first. But, you know, look, we got some haters out there saying that, well, we need somebody that can get some offense. Your offensive numbers don't necessarily jump off the page right away. For the folks in the back, what do they need to know about Merez Johnson's offensive game and how's it coming along?
I like it like that. Keep on underestimating me. I think I'm very skilled, very versatile, able to do everything on the floor when needed. I didn't have to do too much this year. I missed year. My role was very, you know, my role was what it was, you know. Mm-hmm. So I just want everybody to know that I'm excited to be here, ready to work, and I'm going to do whatever it takes to help the team win.
What is the most misunderstood part about your basketball game?
Ooh. I'll say everyone don't think I put the ball on the floor. I know I put the ball on the floor. I didn't need to, really. I got Yax, Elliott, LJ, mm-hmm. Trey McKinney. So, yeah.
How cool was that? You mentioned a couple of your teammates that also got drafted and, like, right behind you. How cool was it to kind of get that experience with them on that very same night?
It was exciting, man. Those guys beat me to my table before I can get a chance to look for them and walk towards them, you know? Those are my brothers, man, for life. I'm excited. I'm excited for all of us. It's insane for all of us to be drafted lotto. I think it's the first time it happened since 2007, right?
Wow, yeah.
I could be wrong, but he's still breaking history, and the season ended two months ago.
Yeah. That's really cool. Like, when you were referencing, because I love Fred's question about the haters, are you one of those players that kind of, like, you love playing at home, but you also love playing on the road because it's a whole different environment and a chance to kind of shut some people up?
I probably play my best on the road. But outside noise don't bother me at all. At the end of the day, I got to go out there and do my job, perform, and that's all that matters. And, yeah, like, everybody got their opinions. Nobody's opinion is better than the other. Only opinion that matters about me is myself.
when you talk about, again, what your impact's going to be, the one thing we love about Merez Johnson Jr. and that and everybody that's talked about you is you're a guy that can play 1 through 5 defensively. Mm. And like I said, we're going to watch this offensive game grow a little bit. What are some of, again, we're only, you're 24 hours into this, and I'm sure it's been a whirlwind 48 hours for you. You know, what's kind of the key to, A, just kind of keeping your head on straight, and what are some of the just early goals that you have for Merez Johnson Jr. As a basketball player going into your rookie season, and just what is, you know, when you look at this Mavericks team, you won 26 games last year. We're expecting an increase, especially for a team that's 2 years removed from a finals run. You know, what are some of the aspirations and goals for this Mavericks team in 2026?
Everyone's focused on winning. I think everyone this summer is just trying to make sure they're healthy, you're ready, and get ready for the season and to ultimately win. We want to be a winning program again. That's why I talked about Dusty Witt when I got drafted. We shook our hands. We both said, hey, got to get to work now. Mm-hmm. Everyone understands that if we're on a mission. We're trying to get back in the winning category. And my goals, personal goals, I just want to win, man. Mm-hmm. If I'm winning, everything else is going to take care of itself. That's how I feel about everything.
What can you tell us about the brand new Dallas Mavericks head coach? Because I know you just got here, but he just got here too. What do we need to know about the Mavs head coach?
Man, he's a great human. He's going to be the same guy every day. Everything you see about him is real. He's really that great of a guy. He's going to challenge his players. He's going to push his players. He likes his players a lot. He treats his team like a family. He want to merge his family, like his wife, his kids. He want everyone to be around. This is like we really are a family, and he approaches it like that. And he want to put his players in the best position to win and look good. And man, he loves winning.
All right, real quick, just kind of off the cuff here, real quick. Number one, you know, Michigan's a Jordan school. We gonna see you rocking Jays with the Mavs. Are you gonna be rocking number 21? And are you a Bears fan?
Am I rocking Jordans?
Yeah.
I got a bunch of them, as you all know.
Yeah, you do.
I got a bunch of shoes. I don't need to buy any right now, so I'm rocking with some of my closet.
First world problems, man. First world problems.
And then 21. No, I'm rocking 14 this year.
Oh, 14.
Yeah, I forgot 21. Yeah, switching it up a little bit.
Now, okay, you know what I was going to say, but I ain't going to put you on the spot like that. Why 14?
Why 14?
Yeah.
So I wore 21 because my mom born October 7th, dad June 7th.
Okay.
So I feel like 3 7 is good luck.
Okay.
So that's where I got 21 from. And then I normally flip it to 12. Can't do that. And then I was going to just get 7. Someone got that.
Okay.
So I'm just rocking 14.
Okay, but here's, and look, this is me saying it, not you. Obviously, there's still a lot of things that can happen, so this could be fluid, is what we're thinking, potentially.
Oh, nah. I had it on earlier, taking some pictures.
Oh, it's done. 14. So we can go out and buy it. So we can go out and get our 14 Johnson jerseys after the show's over.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm rocking it.
Enough said.
I love it. Now, I know you have to be at a lot of times singularly focused on basketball, but outside of the game, what do you enjoy? What do you like to do?
I like to build Legos. I like spending time at home with my family, my dog, my girlfriend, chilling with those guys. What else I do? I picked up fishing last offseason with my teammate, Will Cheddar. I want to get into golf. I think I'm going to take a few lessons. Go golf with some of the guys. I know they do it. And, yeah, that's about it.
What do you think is the most money someone should spend on a Lego set? Because I've been thinking about asking my wife if I can get the Ultimate Collector's Edition Millennium Falcon Lego set that costs $1,000. Mm-hmm. Do you have any advice for somebody who did not just get drafted into the NBA about how to bring that up with my significant other?
I don't know. I think you should just be honest about it. The most expensive Lego set I have is a $400, $500 McLaren set that I got for Christmas this past year that my mom bought me. The most I spent was probably on one Lego set, probably like two something. I haven't gotten to the big Lego sets because I've been in college, high school. I'm waiting to this moment now to build my Legos, put them around my house, so I got to break them down.
All right, I'm gonna have to find a way to show you our guest room, because our guest room has been turned into the Kevin room, because I have Legos everywhere. We got Star Wars Legos coming out of the wall. I've got an entire wall of the cityscape sets and everything like that. So I'm really happy you're here for basketball, but I'm also happy you're here to talk Legos.
Okay. Yeah. And that's how my guest room going to be as well.
Hey, what do you get your mom? What are we getting mom and pop for once you get that first check?
I haven't even thought about it. They here with me right now, enjoying Dallas. Absolutely. We're just living in the moment right now.
That's it. Well, you know what? Tell your parents congratulations. Like I said, it was nice to see, your dad talk a little bit about, you know, the journey you guys have been through and just how much you've been through as a player. And when you kind of finished up his sentence and said, you know, don't listen to the outside noise. Mm-hmm. It, from a father-son perspective, to see y'all bond that way and to see, you know, and your mother as well, it just made you feel good. So, look, man, congratulations on being drafted number 9 overall, and we're expecting big boy things. Look, I'm calling a double-double first year. Maybe I'm crazy, but, I don't see a reason why our boy number 14 can't be pulling out, 11 and 10 each and every night for these Dallas Mavericks.
Okay, high expectations. I love it.
Let's go.
Well, welcome to Dallas, good sir. Thank you for the time. We're all excited you're here, and we can't wait for the start of the regular season.
Thank you.
Appreciate you, man.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. Morez Johnson Jr. right here.
Number 14.
105.3 The Fan. Number 14. He loves Legos. You're predicting a double-double season.
Woo!
A lot of information we were just able to get from that.
Yeah,
good
we
job.
Were. Yeah, we were. Shout out to Morez.
Hey guys, it's Daxton.
And Hayden from Blondies Out Loud.
And if you've ever thought about starting a podcast or making money from one,
we use Creator Lab from Odyssey for our show, and it's honestly been so easy.
It's free hosting, and it gives you a really simple way to earn on top of whatever you're already doing.
Which, of course, we love, because it just adds another stream without the extra work.
So, if you're a creator or podcast curious,
check it out at creators.odyssey.com.
Welcome back. It's the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan segment here. Pardon me. We're going to talk with Isaac Harris, Locked On Mavs, about the Mavs draft, their coaching hire, what happens next. Segment's brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. The Frankels, the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. And here he is, Isaac Harris, Locked On Mavs, joining us now here on The Fan. And a good afternoon, Isaac. How the heck are you?
Oh, man, I'm doing good, especially after that draft last night for the Mavs.
Okay, so you like it? You give it a thumbs up?
Oh, I do, yeah. I was a huge Morez Johnson Jr. fan going into the draft, and I think it was an amazing night for the Mavs.
What does selecting him say about what Masai or Coach May has in mind for the style of play or the future of this roster?
Yeah, I think they're trying to build a culture of, a bunch of players who want to it sounds like super cliche to say this, but play hard, that can play multiple positions, that can rebound, defend multiple positions. And I just think that that's what Morez Johnson brings you, especially as a modern big. I asked Mike Schmitz about this last night, new GM of the Mavs, about what does Morez bring you as a modern big in today's game. And, he just raves about a lot of the things I just said about Morez. So I think it just gives you another big body next to Cooper, allows, somebody that can play alongside Derek Lively, but also play without Derek Lively too when Cooper's at the four. So just a lot of versatility.
What do you say to the fans who were disappointed, saying we need more backcourt scoring or shooting?
I mean, I hear it for sure. I mean, I think, your only debate at that point in the draft with how the board went was Braden Burry's. And, so I could hear that debate. But I would just say that there's other ways to build out a roster. I think that was one of the things. There's a lot of, when you're in a spot that the Mavericks are in right now, they have a lot of question marks. They got to figure out moving forward with creation, point of attack defense, more shooting. They needed to add a big at some point. They did this with Morez. And you can't solve all of it at once. It's one night of the draft, and even if they took a guard, there's still going to be, well, where's the shooting come from? Well, where they got to add another big. And so I think they answered one of those questions, and now we get night two of the draft coming tonight. We have free agency coming up, and I would definitely expect some trades in the next coming weeks.
Isaac Harris, Locked On Mavs, with us here in the G-Bag Nation. Your excitement for the Merez Johnson Jr. pick last night made me excited. You've been talking him up. You thought he was a top 10 type of player. How much in your talks yesterday with Masai and Schmitz, like the Dusty May influence, were they kind of targeting Merez Johnson Jr. even prior to that? Or how much do you think Dusty May had an impact on this pick at nine?
I think both can be true. I think Morez was a guy that I was very adamant over the past week that, hey, Nate Amet, I thought it was a pure smokescreen. I just didn't, you know, I didn't buy it one bit with piecing together all the conversations, both on record and off the record, in Chicago at the Combine and back here in Dallas, that it just, I'm like, Nate Amet just didn't fit what I think they were going for. And Morez Johnson just fits every part of what they're trying to build with Cooper Flagg and just as a new culture in Dallas of players. And so, yeah, I think Dusty May played a part in it. I mean, Masai mentioned last night going into the draft when he was talking to us before the draft of, yeah, it definitely helps having the intel that Dusty May has, not just on his own players, but the other players that played against. And then, you know, Mike Schmitz acknowledged it afterwards and stuff too. So there's not a person there that has more intel on Morez Johnson Jr. than Dusty May.
So immediate impact defensively, what do you see offensively from him maybe in year one? And then are you buying on the idea that he could develop a jump shot and maybe be a little bit more of a stretch big at some point?
Yeah, 100%. I think he will be a shooter at some point. I think it's more sooner rather than later. You look at a telling thing that a lot of scouts and front offices look at as far as developing shooting is, you know, free throw percentage. And, you know, you look at a guy like Mara who can't shoot the outside shot, but you look at Adai Mara, the big he played alongside of Michigan, he shot like 50% from the free throw line. So there's not much, like, I would say hope there. You look at Morez Johnson Jr., he shot right around 80%. We're looking at like 79, 80% from the free throw line. That gives you some hope that that shot's going to continue developing. Dusty May believes that he's going to be a good jump shooter. He was on a recent podcast a few weeks ago talking about his three prospects going into the draft, and he said on that show, he's like, hey, I think Morez Johnson Jr. is going to be a good spot-up shooter in the NBA. And I take this for what it's worth, but I was watching, I was there in Chicago, they were doing the combine, and they had this like five-star three-point shooting drill, and the players just run to five different spots, shoot, run, shoot, run, and he drilled all five straight threes from five different spots on the floor, and the form looks good. So I think you're going to see Morez Johnson be a little bit better of a shooting big than what some people are thinking.
When you mentioned a trade a few minutes ago, my ears perked up. You think it's likely something happens in the next couple of weeks? And who are the Mavs most likely to go?
Yeah, I think it's Daniel Gafford and Klay Thompson. I think you're looking at those two guys if you had to pick two. I mean, I think it's probably like a 50-50 on a P.J. Washington and Najee Marshall. We'll see what happens with them. I don't think there's any scenario, at least right now in the near future, that we see anything with Kyrie Irving. But I think it's, you're looking at Daniel Gafford and Klay Thompson.
Is it possible to build for winning now while developing long-term your young core?
Yeah, I mean, I think you can, especially with some of these, you know, the newest lottery reform of, hey, it doesn't really help to be in the very bottom now you get penalized for it moving forward, but you know Dallas doesn't have their pick next year, but you can build for now and still like be, you know, having stuff for the future too. So like just because you keep Kyrie Irving right now doesn't mean that you're not building for the future at the same time. You need guys like Kyrie Irving in your locker room as a leader that these guys look up to, that can set the table and play with a guy like Morez Johnson Jr. I mean the idea of Morez Johnson playing without a point guard next year, like this past season, like Cooper did, I think that's what people kind of are forgetting about for this upcoming season. Whether it's him, Cooper, PJ, a lot of these guys played without a point guard last year for the most part, and now they're going to kind of get unlocked at a different level for this upcoming season.
Hey, Isaac, with all the things that happened to this this organization with, you know, changing coaches and the way the season went and all that, has it kind of come together better than you expected, or is it like, man, I'm okay with some of this, but there's other things I think they need to do?
I mean, they're going for the big names, right? I mean, they pulled Rick Welts out of retirement after being in Golden State, you know, all those years, and you know, with the league office and everything. I mean, yeah, it took a lot of money to bring Rick Welts out of retirement to come to Dallas, and then after that, you're getting Masai Ujiri, and now you're swinging for the big name in Dusty May. They could have went with an upcoming assistant coach. They interviewed a ton of assistant coaches around the league. That could have been fine head coaches, but it doesn't have the sparkle in it of a Dusty May coming off a national championship. So they're kind of like assembling, you know, their own form of like the Avengers, and you know, what it looks like in Dallas now, the main people of Masai, Rick Welts, Mike Schmitz in a way, Dusty May, Cooper Flagg. Like, these are the new faces of the Dallas Mavericks, and I'm encouraged by it. I'm way more encouraged about it compared to if they still had Nico Harrison. I mean, sure. Thank God that he's gone. So,
yeah,
I don't know. Can we share opinions like that?
No, absolutely. Oh, well, yeah, well said, sir. Yeah, well said.
Yeah, screw that guy, Isaac. He can go F himself. Now, the Mavs did trade up for Sergio Dellaria. Hopefully I'm saying his last name correctly. If I'm not, you can please correct me. But what'd you think about that, and is this like – a guy that's going to be able to have an immediate impact, or is this kind of a draft and stash move?
Yeah, I mean, I think we still got to see how this one plays out. Dellaria, he actually just won. He just won their title just like an hour ago. He plays for Valencia and ACB, which is a top league over in Spain. And this is a league that is typically won by Real Madrid, Barcelona. And Valencia, you know, wins the title this year. And he came off the bench today, but he's a key part of that team, a young 6'6", you know, point guard, two guard in a way, combo guard, 6'9", wingspan, is an incredible shooter. I think my personal read on it is I think the plan is for him to be in Dallas next year. I think there were some plans. I think Mark Stein reported that there were some plans before the draft that wherever he went, he could be a 1 year stash type of player, but I feel like Dallas will try to bring him over this year, and he'll be a fun player. I don't know if he's, you know, I don't know if you could say and say like what his ceiling's going to be, or you know how many minutes he'll get, but he's the type of guy that when you get that far down the draft, 25 to 30, you take a swing on a talent like that.
Can he defend?
I mean, you talk to the right people. Somebody I really trust is Rafael Barlow. And Rafael he's been a scout for the Mavericks for a few years. And unfortunately, he was part of the layoffs and the reshuffling of the front office. But he was stationed over there in Europe and following guys like Dellaria and Jack Cale from Germany, who's going to get picked tonight in the second round. And, Rafael spoke really highly of Dellaria, and he's talked about his defense too. Of like, I wouldn't say he's a Drew Holiday, but he's also not a Trae Young either on the defensive end. So he tries hard. He's got the size and frame, and he's also got a frame that can fill out too. And I think that gives you some hope too.
What are you looking for tonight? Could we see a trade as soon as the next 6 hours?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're on the clock every day for a Mavs trade. I mean, we're seeing how they're wanting to shape a roster around Cooper Flagg, and so I mean, we could see a Gafford, Clay, any of these guys get traded for them. You know, they have pick 48 tonight, and they can move up. There's still some guys at the top of the second round that, you know, I'm kind of surprised they're still there. So they could try to move up to try to get some more shooting. If they want to try to go after it, they met with Isaiah Evans from Duke. They met with him in Chicago and showed some interest in him, and he's still there tonight. So I think we could very well see something. But even if we don't see a trade tonight, I would be shocked if we don't see a Mavs vet traded in the next week or two.
Well, you're the man. Terrific conversation. Thanks for the insights. Isaac Harris, Locked On Mavs. Have a great night.
No, I appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Lloyd Lockridge, and I'm the host of a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore. In this podcast, I'm going to have people on to tell unusual and sometimes far-fetched stories about their families.
I've heard my whole life that she invented the margarita.
And then we're going to investigate those stories and find out how much of it is true.
He gets a patent 1 month before the Wright brothers. Oh, my God.
Please follow and listen to Family Lore, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
With the 48th pick in the 2026 NBA Draft, the Dallas Mavericks select Toibu Lawal from London, England, and Virginia Tech.
The audio, from ESPN, 45-inch vertical, maybe the best athlete, biggest athletic freak in the draft, is your newest Dallas Maverick, along with Vesivolod Ishenko, guard from Russia. I don't know. Those were the two newest Dallas Mavericks added as round two finished up for the NBA draft.
Ooh, I don't have a whole lot on Vesevolod or Toby Lawal. I didn't watch a ton of Virginia Tech games this year.
Or a ton of Russian games.
Yeah, no, neither one. But this is like a classic second round selection too. You're looking at something that can pop. You're looking at and generally that's an athletic freak, and that seems to be what he was. I was a little disappointed. I was hoping like an Otega Owa from Kentucky would make it, or a Manuel Sharp from Houston would make it down. If you could play for Houston, man, like they called that. They were saying playing for Houston was like playing to being in the Navy SEALs of college basketball. You're just so tough with Kelvin Sampson. And Sharp could shoot.
Now I've got to be over that, because remember that's what Nico nicknamed himself and his Nike buddies were. They were the SEALs. They were the Nike SEALs.
Oh, God. Yeah, that's right. So forget about that one.
Dusty May was in the war room.
Yeah.
Very very weak, plain-looking war room, by the way.
I didn't see a computer.
They spent all their money on Masai and Dusty May. They do not have any money left for a war room.
Jay Billis gave his thoughts on Dusty, of course, covering college basketball forever. Said he's a connector. He allows players to make mistakes, and he thinks it is going to work out very well. So that is the new leadership with the Mavs four players over the past 2 days. How are the grades? How are the grades looking for the Mavs? 877-881-1053 for your thoughts, your grade. If you want to throw one out, let's go around the rest of the basketball world.
All right, so SI gives the selection of Morez Johnson Jr. a B. All right, so SI goes with the B grade for him. The write-up here is, you know, he's bringing one of the pieces of his national championship Michigan team with him. This is a bit ambitious for my taste, but he drew rave reviews behind the scenes publicly for May all season for his incredible work ethic, competitiveness, and approach. His stock had risen throughout the pre-draft process, has the size to play either power forward or center, should fit nicely with Cooper Flagg, just a question of whether his ceiling is high enough to warrant going that high. And I think that's a fair question. Like, is the ceiling high enough?
Yeah.
That's a fair question to ask.
How many rim runners can you have? But like, how much can your offense be just Cooper flagging guys that roll to the rim?
Two, max.
Two at a time, or just two on your roster?
I mean, Dwight Powell and...
Because I'm just curious if this is like, Gafford, ultimately they are going to move him. And so he's going to replace some of that like roll to the basket threat.
I don't know whether it's PJ playing some smaller four for you. I don't know. I don't know what you do between Gafford and Lively. I mean, Gafford has the trade value. Mm-hmm. But what are you trying to be next year
right. If
you're keeping Kyrie? Is Kyrie just here mainly for a mentorship role? Like, how much are they really valuing that versus trying to make some actual noise that Blake Elliott thinks they can do? I mean, you guys think what you get from Kyrie on the floor is icing.
Yeah, I'm looking at him, and he's gravy to me. Right, just
yeah.
Sure, I'll tell you. I don't know what to expect. My expectations are limited. He's older. He's not big, and he relies on lateral quickness. Like you can only get so much out of workouts.
What are the other grades?
Real quick, and then Sergio gets a B- grade from SI. They say it's not a throwaway pick. It's not a this is not a throw. He has a chance to make an impact when he eventually comes over. Sporting news.
goes with a B grade for Merez. This is the first curveball of the draft. Dusty May knew how valuable he was, winning the title. The two will reunite and be rookies together in the NBA. He's a huge riser the last few months due to the team's success and a great combine performance.
Yeah, FanDuel spoke to the surprise aspect of it. He was plus 1,100 to be picked at number 9. Plus 1,100 wow. at that sports
book. CBS Sports.
Not kind.
C plus for him. One of the biggest, Merez, one of the biggest winners of the combine, measured bigger than expected, massive length, well-rounded athleticism, simultaneously affirming the shooting gains we saw last year, long and powerful. Shooting is still largely unproven. A total of 12 three-pointers in two college seasons. He can provide some secondary rim protection, does not project as a primary shot blocker at the NBA level. So that's CBS. Now, we move on over to The Athletic. And they go with a C-plus as well.
Mm.
I'm a big fan of versatility that he brings. It's hard for me to see how he doesn't end up being a useful player on a winning NBA team. He could expand his value if the three-point jumper comes along. If they could go five out with Johnson at center, he would also have a shot to close games in playoff situations. He is, because obviously his free-throw shooting ability at damn near 80% is pretty good. John Hollinger, surprise, I'm a fan of him, but not quite at this level. I think his offensive limitations are a bit much to select him in the top 10 in such a strong draft.
And Hollinger got fired from an NBA team, so we don't need to worry about him.
He did. He did get fired from an NBA team. All right, Bleacher Report. Bleacher Report has the Mavericks getting also a C+. And this first stunner of the night comes from a franchise that just made a stunning hire at head coach. It's hard to say Merez lacks potential, especially since he might wind up being the best defender in the draft. He looks like a game breaker on that end. On offense, he plays within his limitations as a hard screener, powerful roller, and soft touch finisher, has hints of having an outside shot, though it's still a work in progress. But his upside is not enormous. And that's what I think a lot of people were kind of harping on with the selection, is this is a lack of upside. Now, Yahoo loved him. A+. A
plus. Wrote for it. Was it Kevin O'Connor?
It was Kevin O'Connor.
Okay.
Yeah. So Kevin O'Connor gives him the A+ with Yahoo Sports. And the write-up is Dusty May continues coaching a player in Johnson who helped him win a title. Masai has always loved drafting jumbo-sized forwards, which must have been part of the appeal in joining a franchise headlined by Cooper Flagg. And that's the logic here with Johnson. You know, the guy on a championship team who never gets enough credit nationally, the one who sets the bone-crushing screens that springs the star, then immediately sprints to the rim for the lob, then turns around and blows up the other team's pick and roll on the other end all in one sequence. That's Merez Johnson.
ESPN gave overall class grades. So Hawks get an A-. Celtics get an A-, Nets get a C+, Hornets get a B-, Bulls get a B+, Dallas Mavericks, B+. The Michigan Mavs, is that going to catch
Michigan
on?
Mavs.
Michigan Mavericks.
You know, I kind of wondered if...
Which this fan base, this whole city, will absolutely detest and hate, because how many messages have you gotten like me where people are dead serious that you should not draft anything Michigan related on the Cowboys, on the Mavericks, any team? They want to ban Michigan athletes in this city.
Well, I hope.
Oh my gosh.
I hope the Stars don't take that, because Michigan's hockey team is generally pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, I would never want Glenn Rice. I would never want Chris Webber on my team. I am fully prepared to
back.
If he busts, I am fully prepared to RIP. I am fully prepared to refer to him to as Merazi Johnson, because we're gonna have to have the Mozzie blend there. What if he ends out? I asked Hagee this yesterday, and Hagee said he'd be disappointed. Would you be disappointed if he becomes ultimately like more athletic Brian Grant?
Ooh. I didn't hate Brian Grant.
Brian Grant's a guy who could start and be on a championship team. But are you going like, that's still below what I would want there?
I'm proud of you for knowing Brian Grant.
Yeah. I know ball.
I guess I'm okay with it. I'm not like thrilled. Brian Grant had a nice little mid-range jumper. Tough, you know, defender. Pretty athletic.
Could rebound.
Yeah. I mean, I'm. That's my reaction.
I think it'd be okay if he's Brian. If he's Brian Grant with some more athleticism, I like him.
Well, Not if Burry's balls out, I'll be pissed.
Yeah, well, there's that. Yeah,
not if Burry's.
That's the one. That's the one thing that's missing with the selection, and that's the biggest hang up I had. Is just that, like, you know, I at nine I was really looking for a guy who, look, two things. Would you rather have a guy that's going to be a steady six? You know he's going to be a six. Or a guy that might be a nine, but also might be a three.
Yeah.
You know, like, and that to me is what the draft is.
Given their draft capital moving forward, I'd rather have the nine.
I would too. And that's why I was a little like, I was like, all right, you know, if they had picks in the next several years, I'd be like, all right, just get a good player. But I felt like they really needed to maximize this.
Right. Last night was brutal to watch on television for all of us. The biggest things I wrote down, the Detroit Pistons trading Isaiah Stewart, who some people comped to Merez. People are starting to think the Pistons are going to do something big. They need to do something big to help Cade with scoring. And then there's LaMelo Ball trade wins blowing all of a sudden because of Shams. And Minnesota is the West version of Detroit in terms of needing to do something, because Tim McMahon on the Hoop Collective the other day dropped this.
I'm not declaring anything with certainty except for the fact that the NBA vultures are swirling around Ant in anticipation of him potentially becoming the next superstar who's available in the trade market.
That's exactly right.
Or who pushes his way to the trade market.
It's fascinating on this because if you were to say who's next after Giannis, we would have said Ant, and that this trade happened the exact same time as the Giannis trade is fascinating.
So vultures are swirling. Ant not happy over the Julius Randle salary dump.
Yeah.
They need someone, like Cade needs someone, and Shams dropping LaMelo Ball. Why would Charlotte do that? They had a really nice winning streak during the course of the season. He helped you with some thrilling moments in their play-in. Why would you trade LaMelo Ball?
Unless he's privately pushing to get out.
Maybe he hates Khan.
And LaMelo, he's got some personality stuff that seems a little bit, you know, quirky here and
he's
there.
A ball.
And then, of course, and then everyone was waiting for Brad Stevens to update the Celtics media on Jaylen Brown's future.
Jaylen Brown's a big part of us. Like, you know, I'm never going to predict the future, but like every indication, everything that I think about over the past few years has been building around those guys. Right. And so obviously you never know. But at the same time, I think the one thing I want to make very clear is how valued he's always been. Like, and he's been amazing. He's been an amazing teammate, great person to be around. And you know, whether that run ends 10 years from now, when he retires or before, there's a lot to celebrate. And you know, that we have a great relationship and an open relationship, where we talk about everything. And, but I don't want to predict the future.
And that means we're still open to trading him. Shams said they were burning up the phone lines yesterday. And there's more people than not that expect Jaylen Brown to still be dealt. So he did a nice job, Brad Stevens, of being generic and complimentary. He did not shut it down, though.
Yeah, they're in a weird spot now, because it's one of those things where when this has been introduced into the equation of not just like, well, we got to do a salary dump, but like we actively want to go get somebody else to, like, another star. We'd rather have them than you. Then it can create all sorts of insecurity or...
And now your standard has been set, too. You were trying to trade him for Giannis. So, like, who else of a Giannis caliber is out there that you would trade him for?
Yeah.
What's making this so difficult. They're never going to take the Mavs pick at nine and the rest of our bench players or role players. They put him in these headlines for Giannis.
Yeah, and I mean, look, if you talk about... There's always been this tension that people feel exists between Tatum and Brown, like that's just under the surface. How much more so when he goes like, oh, so you wanted him to be here and partner up with. You didn't want me to be here. That could very easily turn. This is.
After I carried you guys, after I carried us without Robin or Batman and surprised the entire NBA, leading to Joe Mazzulla getting coach of the year.
Yeah, look, he doesn't get credit for this, but I'm just saying this was the scenario Nico tried to avoid, with the Luka thing was like, don't let it get out that he knows we're doing this, because if it falls apart, then we're stuck.
So you agree with Nico now?
No, I don't. I don't agree with Nico on anything. Move out of the city.
Where are the United States in the power rankings and the United States soccer fight?
Yeah.
That we're finally going to get to between Choppy and Bobby. Commercial free in the expressway with a Young the Giant ticket giveaway next. Good morning, Metroplex. Shout out to the 6 a.m. Club, Sean Sharif, RJ Choppy, and Cowboys insider Bobby Belt, along with Aiden and Pepe running the fan cam, Twitch, and YouTube, along with the Odyssey app. Let's finish up Dallas Mavericks draft week with some overreactions or not before we get a little break before NBA free agency.
All right, let's get right to it. The Morez Johnson Jr. selection was a more stunning moment than the Dusty May hire.
Not an overreaction, just because we had heard Dusty May's name in the previous weeks as a possibility. Now, I thought that Dusty May and John Shire had shut it down.
I thought so, too.
I thought that was over and done with. We were moving on to NBA no-name assistants. But no, I think the Morez drafting of him, kind of similar to what Tyler Smith, was it, that caught us off guard the day of the draft? Was it Tyler Smith or Tyler Guyton's name?
Tyler Smith was day of the draft, where his name had started really picking up steam. I'll say overreaction. I thought, like, because the report was out there that Dusty May and John Shire had said, like, that was the report, was that they were told no. They were just basically like, hey, yeah, no thanks. Don't want to deal with that right now. And Merez Johnson, at least, we had talked about it that day where we were like, when we were talking about what Michigan player could be, we mentioned that, like, there's been talk that Merez Johnson is going to go in the top 10. Like, people are starting to buzz about that. And we knew there was a Michigan connection. So I at least can go, okay, once it happens, I didn't think that was going to be the pick, but you can very easily see A to B to C. The Dusty May one, when Aiden told us that in the hallway, that's who they had hired, I immediately ran in here and started Googling, because I did not think that was happening.
Yeah. And Alec Medford, birthday boy Beaston, even on his day off, booking Merez Johnson for the KNC masterpiece, and Merez told the guys what we need to know about our new head coach.
Man, he's a great human. He's going to be the same guy every day. Everything you see about him is real. He's really that great of a guy. He's going to challenge his players. He's going to push his players. He likes his players a lot. He treats his team like a family. He want to merge his family, like his wife, his kids. He want everyone to be around. This is, like, we really are a family, and he approaches it like that. And he want to put his players in the best position to win and look good. And, man, he loves winning.
So there's Merez on KNC.
By the way, I'm with you guys. It's
we had different answers.
Well, but I'm with you in the terms of that we had heard Dusty's name, but also the surprise of Dusty, because we had, like, you and I were both standing there together outside, you know, when Aiden told us, and that was just like, whoa, would you be kidding me? But I still think,
I thought it was possible they were going to pick Merez. I didn't, like, going into the draft, I thought they could. I didn't even consider Dusty May when they announced
him. I didn't consider either one at that point. But because we had heard Dusty's name prior to it, I had never heard Merez's name involved with this at all. All right, by hiring him and drafting Merez, they're telling us the window won't really start for a couple of more years.
Overreaction. I don't think hiring Dusty May in their mind, and not in my mind, means, all right, I got to wait 2 years for him to figure it out, for them try to become a team that makes noise in the Western Conference playoffs.
Yeah, I don't think.
And Fran Fraschilla, sorry, Bobby, said, hey, I was watching the NBA Finals and only thinking about Merez Johnson during the Finals, because he could go out there right now and defend and try to be an OG Ananobi type.
Yeah, I don't. That's an overreaction. Because I think that, I don't think Masai is taking this job. I don't think Dusty May is making the NBA leap that we heard was inevitable. I don't think they're making that leap to just go, all right, let's start from the bottom, put in some elbow grease, and let's do this for, you know, 4 or 5 years. I think they are trying to, with Masai, Mike Schmitz, like what they're thought of as evaluators, Dusty May, what he's thought of as a tactician and different things like that. I think they're definitely trying to maximize everything because they want to get there as quick as they can.
Who do you think Who do you think figures it out first between the two?
Between Merez and Dusty?
Yeah, figures out the NBA first.
Well, I think Merez, part of the disappointment in drafting him to some is the lack of imagination of upside, whereas I feel like he's going to step out there pretty early on. We know he's going to be athletic because he is athletic. We know he is going to have some freakish type plays. I think he's going to be able to go out there pretty early and defend from day one. We'll see what happens with foul trouble issues. So I think for what he's supposed to be, Merez Johnson is going to go out there and pretty much be that, because I think there's less to figure out when you have that skill set and that scouting report. So I'll say Merez.
Yeah, Dusty May, like, he's dealing with younger players that he was already dealing with at Michigan, so it's not like he's dealing with a bunch of veterans and he's got to learn how to talk to them. And it is, you know, a lot of just the same DNA of the game of basketball that he's got figured out. I was just trying to see how young the team was, and I was looking at this. Cooper Flagg, even after the draft picks they brought in, like Merez Johnson, he is still the youngest player on this team by more than a year.
God, that's awesome, actually.
But I still think there are going to be some NBA to college differences.
Sure, for sure.
You're not coaching a team of all rookies. You still have veterans. So I think you got to figure that stuff out. Game difference, scheduling difference, and they are making quite a bit more money than even some of the
college kids. They are. I don't think that they're – I mean, the problem is that the Thunder and Spurs are so ahead. It's going to be difficult to compete anytime soon. Overreaction or not, there was no coach available this year, Sean Sweeney included, that you would have rather had over Dusty May.
That's a good question.
Thank you.
Not an overreaction.
Yeah, not an overreaction.
I'm more excited about Dusty May than I would have been Sean Sweeney.
I'm pumped.
I would have been disappointed by the Sean Sweeney hire.
Oh, why?
Because I don't like, I do want somebody who's got a reputation as somebody who knows how to design offense. Like, if they would have just told me, like, we're really going in on, like, we're going to just stop, like, the other team, I'd be like, okay, that's going to be a very difficult team to watch.
Who else got hired this coaching cycle?
Thiago Splitter.
Don't care.
I would have been okay with Thiago, but it's not sexy. Not sexy hire.
But I mean, Mike and Nori. And I'm not trying to pick a fight with you, but based on what? Like, what do we know about Thiago Splitter?
Portland did a good job this year. When he took over in Portland, that was kind of a lose-lose situation. They weren't a great team. They have a terrible owner. And they lose Chauncey right before the season starts to the gambling. So it was kind of a
they ended up 42-40.
Yeah, and that was kind of a tough environment to be in all things considered.
And who else?
You know,
not Nori.
I could have been excited about Taylor Jenkins. Jenkins getting hired would have been, he's a local guy. That would have been.
He had a good run in Memphis.
A lot of people thought
ousted.
He got the rug pulled out from under him.
Yeah. Who got hired in New Orleans? Who was that?
Jamal Mosley.
Mosley.
Nah, I'm most excited about Dusty May because of the unknown and the college hype.
1,000%. Overreaction or not, the Mavericks have to take a big swing for a trade.
Well, what's the plan?
Yeah, what are you trying to accomplish?
What do you think their plan is?
Find more guys who are 6'9 and can't shoot, but they can dunk. find out how many of those guys are out there. I think that's been the toughest thing for me to figure out so far is, are they... Because I know there's a split between Mavericks fans of like, no, you can compete right now, keep Kyrie versus like trade him. I can't figure out which one they are. I don't know if they think they've been a little unclear about whether they think they can compete right now. Like, I would guess they're going to get another veteran ball handler and they're going to think that they can be in the playoffs.
Like if the purpose is to try to make the playoffs, they need to take a big swing for someone offensively. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in the backcourt on top of it. Like some of the available free agents, and we're going to have to check on their money that they can spend. LeBron, LaVine, Harden, McCollum, Middleton, Porzingis, Hartenstein, Andrew Wiggins, Tobias Harris, Van Vliet, Draymond, John Collins, Kuminga, Vucevic, Sexton. I think DeMar DeRozan may get bought out. These are some of the names that you're dealing with.
Who?
Now you want to take a big swing in a trade? That's something else.
Let's just assume based on like who they have on the roster right now, who's in their starting lineup? Flag. I assume Merez as a rookie could start.
Kyrie.
Najee.
PJ. Gafford.
Yeah, okay, so then no Merez. Merez coming off the bench. Then, yeah, you right now you've got to go. If you want to have a like legit starting five, I think you need to go trade for somebody.
Would any of you pick them as a playoff team right now?
In the way that they could be in a play-in and then win those games and then get in the playoffs that way. But no, I wouldn't think that they're like a solid top six
seed. Mm-hmm. No. Agreed.
Overreaction or not, after a slow, perhaps rocky start, you are back on the Messiah bandwagon.
Nope. Overreaction. I do have a lot of skepticism there. Just because there's when you look at the way that he's built teams in the past and the gambles that he's taken, he had a lot of resources in Toronto that he was going to be able to use that like we're going to the process of acquiring veterans and taking swings on things that he doesn't have here. And it was concerning the last about 5 years that he was drafting for Toronto. A lot of people were going, yeah, this is not, was some of this potentially a fluke early on? I'm not saying it was, but it at least opens up the question of like, I don't think it's, you just hired Sam Presti. So I'll say overreaction. I still need to see some stuff.
I'm on it. I'm not buying the first ticket on the bus. I might be like in the fifth row, sixth row. But look, he gets, I mean, the whole town is celebrating him for Dusty May. So he deserves his props right now until we see how it works out. And I'm willing to wait back and give them the benefit of the doubt like we've done for Will McClay. Christian Parker right now is getting my, it's the same thing as Christian Parker for me. All right, little Wiz, young Wiz kid coming in. You think Rashawn Gary's the man? You think that Kenny Clark is the man? You're telling me you think Savone Revel can play. You're going to play Caleb Downs at nickel instead of safety. So let's see if this young genius applies and hits early. I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt until I see different.
I love the May hire. I was surprised by Merez. If we show up here and Yaxel's having a great year or Burries is having a great year and Merez is... playing the kind of game we expect.
I think I know more of what Merez Johnson is going to be than Burries.
Sure.
Burries could be Bradley Beal. Burries could be a bum.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yaxel, I didn't want to draft Yaxel anyway because of his age.
I think Yaxel's going to be good regardless. I think the problem is that there's the age question.
Yeah.
I'm with you on Burries. I don't know what he's going to be. I'm with you on Ament. I don't know what he's going to be. I'm with you on, I don't like Ade Mara anyway.
It feels like the Merez floor is
much higher.
The most built in.
It's the most stable floor. It's a slab. It's a concrete slab.
And when you get a defensive rebounding athlete guy and you don't have to project as much offensively.
Right, absolutely.
You can kind of say that. This is Merez to KNC yesterday on what we need to know about his offensive game.
I like it like that. Keep on underestimating me. I think I'm very skilled, very versatile, able to do everything on the floor when needed. I didn't have to do too much this year. I missed sharing. My role was very, you know, my role was what it was, you know. Mm-hmm. So I just want everybody to know that I'm excited to be here, ready to work, and I'm going to do whatever it takes to help the team win.
By the way, on the Yaxel front, you mentioned how old he was and if they would have picked him. Post-draft now that they've picked the four players they did, the Mavericks currently have 12 players on their roster that are younger than Yaxel.
Gosh.
He would be one of the older players they have.
All right, last one. The Mavericks, get the post-it notes out. The Mavericks will be in the conference finals before the Rangers or Cowboys are in theirs.
Overreaction, I would pick the Cowboys first.
Zach
Wilchuk already told me they're going to be there.
Yeah, which means you just trust Zach more than you trust Blake Elliott.
Yes.
But no, I would say overreaction. I don't know how likely any of the three are, but I think the Cowboys probably have the best chance.
It's not the Mavericks. I'm just trying to debate whether it's the Cowboys.
It's not the Mavericks. You think the Rangers have a better chance to get to their Final Four than the Mavs?
Just because the sport.
If we're 2 years into this and the Mavericks and none of them still have, then the answer becomes the Mavericks.
Then it becomes the Mavericks.
But from right now, today. The Cowboys.
Yeah, probably the Cowboys, although...
Would you put Mavericks third behind the Rangers?
Right now? No. The Rangers would be last.
Game and a half.
Yeah, baseball's so weird. That's the only thing.
Game and a half from worst record in baseball.
Yeah. The Mavericks definitely have a better, brighter future. The only thing that's keeping me there is like just the randomness of baseball.
RJ Choppy with the Mavs overreaction or not. We got a final ticket giveaway for you in the 7 o'clock Expressway along with the Junk Drawer on DFW Sports Station. They're starting to come after Robo. We'll tell you the very latest next.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.